This is the Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you again by the mercies of God on BBS Radio. I want to thank you for tuning in and having me into your home. May this continuation of the message be a guidance to you. I want to go back and take it from Luke chapter 10, verse 19. But before I do that, I would just like to read from Psalms 18:47. This will be Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Going back to Luke 10, chapter 19, verse 31, it says here, now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But when a certain man, Samaritan man, he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Now, I just want to go here for a while. It says in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus gave a picture of himself and his mission. Man had been deceived, bruised, robbed, and ruined by Satan, and left to perish. But the Savior had compassion on our helpless condition. He left his glory to come to our rescue. He found us ready to die, and he undertook our case. He healed our wounds. He covered us with his robe of righteousness. He opened to us a refuge of safety and made complete provision for us at his own charge. And Jesus died to redeem, pointing to his own example. He says to his followers, these things I command you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This was taken in John 15:17, 13, and 34. The lawyer's question to Jesus has been, what shall I do? And Jesus, recognizing love to God and man as a sum of righteousness, had said, this do, and thou shalt live. The Samaritan had obeyed the dictates of a kind and loving heart, and in this had proved himself a doer of the law. Christ bade the lawyer, go and do likewise. Supposedly, the priest saw God and his law, which encourages mercy. he professed his love for God and human beings. And he prayed several times a day. So this spiritual leader, one of the 12,000 priests living in Jericho at the time, had left service to God back at the temple, having neither time nor compassion for his neighbor. The priest knew that God's law endorses loving God and neighbor, yet he failed to put his faith into action. The Levite was one of the same tribe as the priest, but of one of the inferior branches. As a servant of the temple, a custodian of religious worship, and an interpreter of the law, he should also have been eager to assist the battered man. These two spiritual leaders should have been the first to apply their faith in God by aiding the beaten traveler. Yet Jesus must rebuke the heartless and unkind spirit of their form of religion. Both men ignore God's instruction by neglecting the intent of his law. A parable is not a new report. No, it is not. However, in a real-life situation, a priest or a Levite might have widely varying feelings when confronted with such a situation. They might range from aversion and or fear that a similar tragedy might happen to him if he remained in the area to sympathy and commiseration. Jesus does not explore this angle, but we can understand the possibility because we also are not unmoved by others' plight. We are not cold marble stubborn without feelings. Jesus does not mention what the priest and the Levite specifically felt, but he clearly shows that mercy began with the Samaritan feeling compassion for the wounded man. Then the Samaritan made a number of sacrifices to meet the miserable man's need. He went out of his way. He went out of his way. How frequently are we moved to make some small sacrifices that were relieving another's misery, but never mercifully follow through? The priest and Levite regretted that the road to Damascus was the only route to their destination, and that they had met with and the wounded man. Now they are in guilt. Now they are in guilt, and their conscience now are bothering them. And that guilt, that emotion that occurs when a person believes that they have violated a moral standard, that is the guilt and the consciousness of it. The part of the mind that makes us aware of our actions as being either morally right or morally wrong. That sets in, and there is no room for escape. Why he cannot escape? Why the priest and the Levite could not escape the conscience? Because you cannot hide from self. They could not hide from self. The Samaritans were a Gentile people mostly living in Samaria. And Jews thought of them as inferior and hated them. It probably shocked the lawyer to hear Jesus speak well of the Samaritan as the only one who acted compassionately toward the beaten traveler. Compassion the Samaritan had. Compassion in Luke 10:33 comes from the Greek splachinoma, meaning to be moved as one's inwards. That means the inner man of you has been stirred. A person's innards represents the seat of the warm, tender emotions or feelings. It specifically symbolizes the higher viscera, the heart, lung, and liver, signifying compassion out of the depth of one's character. The Samaritan not only intervenes on behalf of the beaten traveler, he goes beyond the call of duty to ensure the man receives care until he has recovered. He does not contemplate his action, but reacts from the appreciate compassion of his true character. In the parable, in its introduction, Luke 10:26, Jesus uses a technical term regularly used by the scribes or lawyers when consulting one another about a matter of the law. Yes, so Jesus asks, what is your reading of it? So the lawyer gives the only right answer, the necessity of loving God and his neighbor. He then asks the question, who is my neighbor? That prompts Jesus into giving his parable. The lawyer believes that no Gentile is his neighbor, although it seems he suspects they really are. This parable makes clear who is our neighbor and who we should respond to in their needs. So following the moral to the parable, the command of love, and the command to love our neighbor as ourselves, Jesus encourages the lawyer to go and do likewise, helping the needy without asking first who he is and what is his relationship is to us. fulfilled. The Samaritan proved himself a neighbor by his unprejudiced mercy and compassion. According to Proverbs 14:21, Romans 39:9-10, Galatians 6:7-10, without distinction of race, nationality, or religion, the human being that we affect good or bad by our conduct is our neighbor. Let me go over that again. The Samaritan proves himself a neighbor by his unprejudiced mercy and compassion without distinction of race, nationality, or religion, the human being that we affect good or bad by our conduct is our neighbor. More specifically, in light of this parable, he who needs our aid, no matter who he is our neighbor. The question then should not be, who is my neighbor? But are we neighborly? Are we friendly? Kind? Are we helpful? Are we really considerate? Caring? Cooperative? Are we amicable, merciful, and compassionate? Do we really love our fellow human beings more than ourselves? These are questions we must ask ourselves. Do we have to be friendly, to be neighborly? Questions. These questions must not go unanswered, because Jesus is the quintessential good neighbor, and his example is the one to imitate. He saw a world of sinners robbed of their potential, stripped of spiritual ideals, wounded by sins, and unable to rise by themselves from their beaten state. He came down to where the sinners are and gave mankind a corresponding act of mercy, seen in type in the Good Samaritan. You can see that in the Good Samaritan, through his death and resurrection, he covers our nakedness, binds up our wounds and heals them, and put us in the safety of his church, and provide for our physical and spiritual needs. God gives us abundantly more than we ask for. Who is our neighbor? Again, who is our neighbor? And again, in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus gave a picture of himself and his mission. Yes, who is our neighbor? Never should we pass by one suffering, not one suffering soul, without seeking to impart to him or her of the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. All this is but a fulfillment of the principle of the law. The principle that is illustrated in the story of the Good Samaritan and made manifest in the life of Jesus. His character reveals the true significance of the law and shows what is meant by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And when the children of God manifest mercy, kindness, and love toward all men, they also are witnessing to the character of the statues of heaven. They are bearing testimony of the fact that law, that the law of the Lord is perfect, coveting the soul. In Psalms 19:7, and whoever fails to manifest this law is breaking the law which he professed to revere. For the spirit we manifest toward our brethren declares what is our spirit toward God. The love of God in the heart of the only spring of love toward our neighbor. If a man says, I love God and hated his brother, he is a liar. Outright liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And it says in 1 John 4:20-12, beloved, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect. Yes, his love is perfect. So Jesus' audience, especially being that they were so knowledgeable of the law, would not make the shocking allegation. Jesus makes at the heart of this problem, our culture often does so. So let's dive to it. Breaking these commands may not seem to us as being of any importance, as most Christians see them. Yet Jesus goes to great lengths to make sure that his audience knows that to help this man would require the Levite and the priest to break those laws. Let's see here. The road between Jerusalem and Jericho was a steep, rocky, dangerous gorge. And to get from one side to the other, it is a chance. Jesus says that the man who had been robbed by thieves looks dead and insuscitates, that he may die at any moment. Jesus' exact words are telling. He says, this man was semi-dead. Furthermore, he includes the detail that the man was bleeding in a ditch and leave to death. This is where we come in. How did we come into this? Because whom has been put into position, the Levite and the priest? Turn their back they were troubled after meeting the man, because they were hoping, you know, that they would not have been in guilt if the man was not there, if they hadn't seen the man bleeding. But it was ordained, it was destined for them to walk there, that their guilt and their conscience would have been troubled. Thus we see how Jesus applies the statement, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," into a real world situation where mercy and obedience are in conflict. Had they understood the position, the priests and Levites would not have been faced with the paralyzing choice between obedience and mercy, for they would have understood that to love one neighbor is to fulfill the law. They got confused. They prefer to keep the law of Moses than to have mercy and compassion on a dying man. How often do we misconstrue many things? Sometimes we could be very heavenly minded and no earthly good. But the story does not end with just breaking down presumption, like many of our own. We turn our face, our head, the opposite direction and walk away. Who is your neighbor? Is it someone that you think lives in your neighborhood or your community? Is it someone that you're really acquainted with? Who is your neighbor? That is what Christ is asking. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is the one to whom you show compassion to when there are hardships, are troubled, when you reach out to that person who have been challenged and have been challenged. Those are your neighbors. Who have no help, you reach out to them. You go the extra mile. Those are your neighbors. You'll see a need and fill it. Those are your neighbors. You're not supposed to be one who asks you to do something, but look for a need and fill it. Have compassion. When was the last time have you ever done something good for the first time? Search your heart and address your neighbor. When was the last time you reached out with your heart before extending your hand? May the Lord have mercy upon you. I pray that this message touches your heart. I pray that the Lord, who inhabits eternity, open your mind, and that you will be able to see who is your neighbor. May God bless you. And Father, I pray for this radio station, the brothers, Doug and Don, and their family. Bless them, protect them from all harm and danger. Bless those who have been here who have heard my voice over the airways. Your word go forth, Lord. Your word has the power in itself to bring itself to pass. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for using me as a conduit and a channel. In Jesus' name, amen.